the Texas Center for Legal Ethics. This is a center that was created 30 years ago by three former Texas Supreme Court justices. It was created in 1989, which is kind of at the tail end of the Rambo litigation era. And the justices were concerned about ethics in Texas, so they presented or created the Texas Center for Legal Ethics, which is an educational and resource center. They have a website that's called legalethicstexas.com. Legalethicstexas.com. It's an easy place to find all of the disciplinary rules. You may be like me and have trouble looking up in the statute books and trying to find the disciplinary rules. They're presented in a logical place at this website. Also, all of the ethics opinions, which you may not know where to find, are also on this website. This website is smartphone ready, so that you can, if you're in trial and you have an ethical question come up, want to do some research, you can pull up on your phone. But there's a lot of resources available. There's a lot of videos. You can get ethics CLE credit off this website. So legalethics.com, Texas Center for Legal Ethics. It's a good source of information.
So there's a couple of places you can go if you're having a question and don't know really how to proceed. Because as it turns out, if you read this thing, is anybody familiar with this thing? State Bar Journal? Is it sitting in your inbox 3 months, 4 months piled up? It's really worth reading this thing every now and then, at least for the ethics question of the month and then other articles. So right now, I will tell you that in the November 2019 issue, go back to your inbox, dig it out, there's a whole article on deposition perjury. Must the lawyer blow the whistle? Is that where you want us to go?
Sure.
All right. So what can you tell us about that?
Well, there's a couple of rules that seem to address this in the disciplinary rules. One is Rule 3.03, and the other one is Rule 4.01. But there's a lot of dimensions to this question. The Rule 3.03 is called candor toward the tribunal. So a lot of clever art lawyers have argued, well, a deposition, unless it's ordered by the judge and taken in the courtroom, is not before a tribunal. So depositions are not governed by the same rules at trial. And there's a comment to that rule. Comment 13 says the duty to take remedial measures does not apply when the perjury occurs under questioning by another party. So if you're a lawyer, or if you're the lawyer who asks somebody a question and which results in a perjurious answer, then it's your obligation to correct it. But if the opposing counsel asks a question, according to this comment, you don't have a duty to correct that. Now, mostly in depositions, it is the opposing attorney asking the questions because you save your questions for trial. So this comment suggests that you only have a duty to correct the answer if it's the question that you ask. And also there's this argument that a deposition is not before a tribunal. So if you look literally at question 3.03, there's some doubt about whether it creates a duty to correct a perjurious answer in a deposition. The other rule, 4.01, pertains to a lawyer assisting a client in perpetrating a fraud or a crime. And again, there are arguments that have been made, and there's a comment to that rule. Comment 3 says the failure to disclose under such circumstances is misconduct only if the lawyer intends thereby to mislead. So there's a scienter requirement for the lawyers under this comment. The author of this article in this month's Bar Journal says they think that comment is incorrect, that for disciplinary purposes, there's not a scienter requirement. They may be if you want to prosecute the lawyer for crime or fraud, but just as a disciplinary obligation to correct perjury in a deposition, there is no obligation unless the lawyer does it knowingly.
I may have told this, yes.
Make a difference. Well, what the comment to Rule 3.03, are you talking about in terms of the
in terms of the perjury. The operator tells you 10 minutes before the deposition, I didn't really let that fly. He's a fact witness, and when he testifies, it could be perjury if he fails to disclose that or lies about it on the deposition. But that seems to be a little bit different than if it is the plant manager who's hearing, say, a 36 or a representative.
Right. Yeah. Well, for purposes of Rule 3.03, it doesn't turn on whether who's presenting the witness, it's who's asking the question. And if it's asked by the opposing counsel, according to this interpretation, you don't have an obligation to correct it.